You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Happy game day, everybody. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're having some fun technical difficulties about 30 seconds before we went on air. That was a lot of fun.
But we're on the air, so it's
that was honestly perfect timing with the music, too.
It worked well. It worked very, very well. I was a little bit panicked, though. I can't lie to you. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
I had faith in you.
And me. It was our engineers. I was just standing here.
That's fair.
I didn't do anything.
I had faith in them.
It is not a football Friday, but it is a football game day that is brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby way. Very excited for tonight. We're looking for your predictions. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on. We are also waiting to hear from Sal Capaccio, who is down in Miami, so we'll hear from him in the next few minutes. Very, very excited, though, tonight, Josh. I was talking last night on the nightcap how much, like, I want to be nervous because, you know, it's a Bills game day. Miami is a good team. I get it. And ultimately, I'm just like, until they prove they can beat the Bills on a regular basis, I just find myself not being that nervous. I just find myself being excited. But let's go to the Western Hotline as Sal Capaccio joins the show from down in South Florida. Sal, how's the weather, man?
It is right now. I'm looking out my hotel window, and it's pretty overcast. Sun's starting to shine through a little bit. You know, it's got the, you know, it's that early morning rain that gets burned through. You know, the clouds that burns through in Florida. And I just, you know, it's that time of year, guys. You just don't know. You know, like, what's the weather going to be? I have no idea. I know you guys had hammer on yesterday. It's just, you never know when it's going to change down here. Yesterday, came down, flew down. When we got off the plane yesterday, it was sunny, but it was very wet on the ground. So it obviously had just rained. And then for a few hours, it was fine. And then go out last night, and all of a sudden, it just starts coming down like a monsoon for a good hour to hour and a half.
That is the fun summer weather in Florida. Pat was also
saying
yesterday,
not going to be fun tonight if that happens for the game. I'll tell you that.
That's what Pat was saying too. And he goes, there might be like some thunderstorms like around the area. And I'm just like sitting there, somebody that works the game, Sal, you'll get it too. Where I'm just like, oh no, the long night.
I'm also worried about staying up for the game and waking up early in the morning tomorrow to, you know, have to come into work. But hopefully, we don't have any of that tonight.
Yeah, and then obviously just being prepared for the elements when you're out here, right? I mean, like, it's a long night as it is, but, you know, being prepared as well, you know, how much it affects the game from a competitive standpoint for, you know, people who are going to the game. Like, if you're coming down here, a lot of Bills fans are down here, obviously, you know, just being ready to brave those storms if they're going to be rolling in. So everything you have to kind of be thinking about that.
So Ian Rapoport tweeted out about 15 minutes ago, just a little bit of an update on Devon Achane. We already know for Miami, Raheem Mostert's out, but it sounds like Achane is dealing with an ankle sprain. He's going to test it out tonight to see what his availability is against Buffalo. That seems to be maybe the bigger piece for Miami, though. Mostert, maybe they can survive without him, but Achane does seem to be the bigger piece. And if they're down two running backs, that seems to be – I know people like Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, Jeff Wilson as well, but that's going to be a big miss for them, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, I mean, even if he has an ankle sprain, he's playing. Like, what's the effectiveness if Achane plays? And it sounds like from what Rapp tweeted out and what he's reporting, him and Cam Wolf, that – you know, there is optimism, as they said, that he would play. So I'm sure that they'll do whatever they can to tape him up and get him ready. And, you know, but then you have to worry about and wonder about availability. And then obviously without Mostert, you know, if he is not as available, then you have to turn to Jeff Wilson a little bit. So, and Jeff Wilson, I think, is a pretty good running back. But certainly a compromised Achane without a Mostert changes the dynamic of their running game. And that's what they do, right? They run the ball really well. They throw the ball, but they have all that speed. And, you know, you wonder – that's a type of player that relies on, you know, his speed and any kind of ankle injury to compromising him obviously is significant whether he plays or not.
You know, Sal, I was listening with you with Jeremy and Joe earlier this morning. You guys were talking a little bit about the defense as well. It looks like a bit of a different defense than the Bills have been used to seeing due to the, you know, injuries and stuff the Dolphins have suffered over the past few years. But Jalen Phillips is one of the guys that I'm a little worried about tonight. I mean, he's healthy, he's fully back, and, you know, what do you think that could mean for Allen's rushing ability along with, you know, just the offense in general?
Well, he is a handful, and, you know, they're going to have to be aware of where he is at all times on the field. He's a fantastic player, and for him to come back and play the way he did last week after having that Achilles injury just, you know, on Black Friday in November, you know, says a lot about him personally as well. But, you know, you look up and down that line, and they Calais Campbell is there, obviously. Zach Sealer's a nice player, but I don't think that they have like this overwhelming, you know, pass rush from top to bottom. I think that if you can concentrate on knowing where Jalen Phillips is, have a plan for him, you know, obviously you can do some things to mitigate that a little bit. And that's to me what the Bills will probably do. They'll probably have some sort of, you know, protections and calls and slides, knowing where Phillips is. You know, and Josh Allen, they've seen him before. He's played before. He's made some plays against the Bills. But this is not a unfamiliar opponent, as you guys know. It's not an unfamiliar personnel. They know what these guys are going to bring to the table. So certainly Jalen Phillips is a handful to deal with. But I'm sure the Bills will also have, you know, a plan to deal with him, where he is lined up, and, you know, how they want to attack that.
Sal, it's an 8:15 kickoff. It's well away. It is a long time here. What's the schedule like for the Bills, even yourself and the rest of the media members? Is it a lot of just kind of sitting around waiting, getting to the stadium early, or is there kind of a more of a structured plan going forward?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think a lot of people always wonder, like, you know, what happens on a game day when you have a nighttime game. And the team actually, they will have a walkthrough today. They'll do that. Typically, and I don't know, it's generally right here at the hotel. They don't like go off site or anything like that. Like there'll be a ballroom or something, you know, where they get in there and they show, okay, this show, this formation, you go here. It's, you know, it's a walkthrough. They could go outside and do it somewhere. But the point is, like, they'll get together for a walkthrough practice. They'll typically do that, you know, late morning, early afternoon. You know, they'll have treatments available for them, for anybody injuries, getting their bodies right. They'll have a team lunch, you know, before they get ready. And then, you know, buses, there's different buses that start rolling out at different times. I'm always on, whether it's a Thursday night game or a Sunday morning game, Sunday afternoon game, you know, I'm always on one of the earlier buses before the players, the staff and radio crew. We get out there a little bit earlier. We have radio duties. So I'll be out there. My bus should get to the stadium. Actually, guys, let's see. I will tell you exactly when I'll be there. I should be at the stadium today at 4:30 p.m. So, you know, it gets it pretty early. We're there early. And, you know, we start setting up behind the scenes. I'll get down to the field. I'll check things out. And then from there, you know, every once in a while, another bus comes in and starts rolling in with the players. And you've seen those pictures and the guys coming in at some point. So, yeah, today at 4:30, I'll be over at the stadium. And then obviously that'll be during Show Up in the Bulldog. And we'll have all your, you know, pregame coverage and roundtable and all that kind of stuff going on. But there is always it is very structured on what they do, you know, here during the day, and everything is, you know, hey, this time here, here's the walkthrough, here's your treatments available, here's lunch, all those kinds of things.
So, Sal, another storyline for tonight, Jordan Poyer's first time playing the Bills in 10 years. I mean, the last 7 years he was on the Bills, the last time he played against them was with Cleveland back in 2014. What do you think the vibe is around that? How are the guys going to, you know, what's it going to be like on the field? You know, obviously, you know, after the game, handshakes and hugs and all that, but in game, I wonder what the, you know, the feeling is going to be between the two sides.
Well, I think it'll be a lot before the game too, where you'll see him, and, you know, I'm excited to say hi to Jordan as well, just because, you know, he meant so much to the Bills and got to know him very well. And, you know, you see those guys coming out for early pregame warm ups, when you say hello, catch up, how's the family, you know, good to see you, all those kinds of things. And he'll do that with a lot of the players. He'll do that with a lot of the, you know, the staff members that he sees. And that's going to be, I think, to me, more of the kind of the feelings and the vibes. Once the game gets kicked off, guys, I don't think there's much of that at all. I just think that it's a team with the other opponent, right? The other uniform on. And, you know, I don't think Jordan Poyer is thinking, you know, it's the Buffalo Bills. What can happen though is Obviously, he may see something he knows or recognizes from a Bills offense that he practiced against for 7 years. You know, Josh Allen, the way he operates. You know, that's something that he'll probably be on the lookout for. But I don't think the feeling of playing the Bills, you know, will creep into Jordan. I mean, he's used to playing against a Buffalo Bills helmet for the last 7 years anyway in practice every day, right? So I don't think that's the case. And then sure enough, you know, on the other side, you know, the Bills – you know, it'll be the same for them. You know, they're going against another player, another opponent. It's not the first player they've ever gone against that, you know, moved on and went to another team. So I think during the game, those things subside. Nobody really thinks about it in that way. And then after the game, obviously, that's when you get back together again. You know, you say good job and stay healthy and, you know, see you back on, what, November 3rd. It'll be again when they play.
All right, Sal, enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy the game. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, guys, have a great show. Thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio down in South Florida getting ready for tonight's game against the Miami Dolphins. We are looking for your predictions. 803-0550, the number to call. You can also tweet in to WGR or myself and Josh Schmidt. Very excited for tonight. The Jordan Poyer angle, Josh, I find myself never thinking about it.
Leading up to asking Sal that question, I was like, man, when was the last time? Because he would have played against the Bills before, but then in 2016 – when he was with Cleveland, his last year in Cleveland, mm-hmm. the whole back half of the season, he's on injured reserve. And then, there goes the page. In 2015, they didn't play the Bills.
Yep.
So 2014, week 12,
mm-hmm.
they played in Buffalo. Buffalo won 26-10. Poyer didn't really do anything in that game. But still, that's the last time he played against the Buffalo Bills. 10 years ago.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy, isn't it? Like, it's just wild.
I mean,
and that's also,
it
shows
yeah.
his longevity in the NFL.
Yeah, and I mean, he has been a part of the Bills for a majority of his career.
Right. 7 years.
I don't love that he's gone to a rival. It is what it is.
Yeah, well.
But, yeah, I haven't thought too much on that angle. I think a lot of it, though, too, is when he went there, it was sort of this feeling of, I mean, how much does he honestly have left?
Mm-hmm.
I think right. that's an honest question of, does
he
have a
ton? There was a good bit of training camp where he wasn't practicing too, or was limited in practice.
The early parts, yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of also gave you a little bit of a what's going to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he played last week. I don't think he really did. He had 3 solo tackles, 6 combined tackles, and,
yeah.
you know, just kind of a run-of-the-mill day.
Yeah, I don't really know if I saw anything. Yeah, it wasn't like the Trey White play against the Lions where you're right. like, oh, no, with Jameson Williams. There wasn't anything like that.
Right, yeah, that was tough to watch, too.
Yeah, that was
you got
to
feel
watch.
For Trey White there. I mean, is that age? Is that Jameson Williams being fast? You know, there's a lot of different
I think Jameson Williams
there.
Is going to be a very good wide receiver
yeah.
now that he's kind of figured out everything in his personal life and on the field as well.
Right.
But I said it on a nightcap last night. I'm finding myself having a tough time. I get excited for the games. I love the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned that a
right.
lot. Us growing up, like it was not Bills Dolphins. Both teams were bad.
Yeah, but
and they
even
didn't really
then,
stand in each other's way. And it was more, you know, we hate the Patriots because
right,
they beat us up.
Right.
And even, you know, as I've gotten older, I've kind of moved away from that because it was mm-hmm. like the Bills were bad on their own. Like the Patriots
right.
weren't keeping them out of the playoffs. I think outside of maybe a year where beating the Patriots once or twice would have gotten you in the playoffs. And the Jets, I've never really felt any, I don't want to say hatred towards the Jets.
It's just an annoyance,
yeah,
really.
That's
not,
really the only feeling.
Yeah, it's never been like, oh my, I don't want to play. Not that I don't want to
play. No.
I don't want to see you win. With the Jets, it's just, guys, just stop.
Last year,
you play
was
in New Jersey. You're not in New York. You drafted a bad quarterback,
yeah.
and you signed an old quarterback. You're not good.
Last year, week one was the first time I felt like anything like really negative with the Jets
yeah.
in terms of a Bills fan thinking about
that
the
Jets.
That
was also just frustration, I feel like, because it
yeah.
was a frustrating game. You're how did you just lose? Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, and you have to play Zach Wilson, and you lose on a punt return touchdown in
yeah.
overtime. Like that was why everyone was so mad that game,
mm-hmm.
I feel like. It wasn't a... This is a long-storied rivalry, and you never want to lose to them. This
nope.
has become that, though.
That's the thing is for the older generation, it's kind of always been that.
Right. Yeah.
Where for now, a lot of Bills fans who are our age, it's like, oh no, now it's here. Now I understand. Whenever I go over to
mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving dinner, and my uncle and my dad are talking about is squish the fish. I hate the Dolphins. The whole thing, and I'm sitting there going, all right, guys, like the 90s were a while ago. It's like, no, it wasn't just the 90s. It was a lot of,
yeah.
if not the entire history of the Bills. And now, I think last year as well, you had great games against the Dolphins that sort of set up even more to what the rivalry is. Of course, last year, coming off of their 70 points scored against the Broncos, they come to Buffalo, they lose 48-20.
I was watching those highlights this morning on YouTube, just gathering some clips for the show and stuff, and I just forgot how dominant that game was.
Yeah.
I mean, the Diggs touchdown where he spins away from two guys, the Allen rushing touchdown where, I mean, he had a decent amount of space to cover. Yeah. It wasn't like you're on the 2-yard line and you push it in. And, you know, that whole game was just fantastic. And then even last year at the end of the season,
to end the season.
Yeah. The Trent Sherfield crazy catch where he holds onto the line and grabs the ball, his only touchdown
Hardy
as a Bill.
Kick return touchdown. I mean,
and a punt return touchdown. Or, I'm sorry, just the punt.
It was the punt return touchdown. Yeah, yeah, but it's. And for it to be the final game of the
year. To win the AFC East. After everything that was last year with, you know,
The rivalry for us younger people has now become a real thing.
Yep.
And that's why I partially do enjoy that the Dolphins are a good team. It keeps the rivalry fresh. I think rivalries die when one of the teams is just not good.
Well, and I feel like, you know, obviously this rivalry was born way before we were, but it was back when the Dolphins would beat the Bills every time they played.
And the eventual streak breaking.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I think that's like the one time where you have a rivalry born out of one team being bad and the other team being good.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like you said, most of the time it's two teams competing for the ultimate prize, and you get frustrated when you lose to them because it's, there it goes. You know, you're not going to win it now. You're not going to win the division. You're not going to make it to the playoffs, whatever. But this was one of the rivalries that was born out of just pure, why do they keep beating us? Why do we keep losing to them? Why does this keep happening? And then it was finally, oh, you break the streak. And then, boom, both teams kind of get good at the same time in the 80s and 90s. And that's really where I think it ramped up. Was when the Bills actually got good after they broke the streak, and you know it's a very interesting history. I think it's a lot better than the history with the Patriots.
You know, it is interesting though too for the Dolphins to basically own the decade of the 70s, the all time series. So this includes playoff meetings. Dolphins only lead at 62-58, and there's also a tie in there one, but we're not closing in.
Four more wins.
But, like, that's I think that's really kind of cool that even after a complete domination of the 70s, right?
Yeah.
You're still looking at it going, it's getting close.
Right. And again, you look at the last, you know, this Josh Allen era.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. He's 11-2 counting playoff wins. He's 10-2 without the playoff because they've only played once in the playoffs.
In this recent run, yeah.
In the Allen era, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But 11-2, like that's an impressive run.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, granted, the first loss is in a game where, you know, you should have won because Charles Clay dropped the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But the second one was because all your players are dying on the sideline. You know, there's heat stroke everywhere and not actually heat stroke, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. It was 1,000 degrees on the Bills sideline and it did not go well, but and I'm not trying to make excuses there, but had those two games, had the heat stroke game been in Buffalo?
Oh yeah, I mean,
I think it's flipped. You know, I think it's 12-1.
And that's the thing in the 2020s, that is their lone win,
right?
Is that 21-19 game in 2022?
And it's not even a big win; it's a 3-point win
in week 2-3.
Yeah, I mean, and even the one where. Allen's first loss in his first game against the Dolphins. It was 21-17. It's not like you're getting destroyed.
Oh, that game bothers me.
Like, you look at the other wins from the Bills. 42, 31, 37, 28, 31, 56. 35-0, 26. Like, you're not slacking against them, and even in the losses you're at least scoring two touchdowns. I stood by it last year and I'll stand by it again. I'm not scared of them until they win the division. I don't think they're going to do it this year.
No, I think their defense is weaker.
Yeah.
Listening to Armando Salguero yesterday with Shelton Bulldog, I mean, I thought that going to the offseason, he said it outright. I don't think they're a much better unit. I understand the fear of Jalen Phillips, but I think really their kind of stud on the defense that was one of the few guys to give the Bills fits was Christian Wilkins. He is not on the team anymore.
He's in Las Vegas still causing problems because he was part of the reason why the Raiders and the Chargers fought last week. He's still causing problems.
Tyreek Hill, I think, is always a danger, but the Bills do a very, very good job of limiting the number one wide receiver on really any team. They're one of the best teams in the NFL to do so. And the Dolphins, I think, need to prove to themselves, they need to prove to Buffalo, they need to prove to their fans, they need to prove to Bills fans that, like, they can actually stand up and fight.
Yeah.
Because it typically is, there's a little bit of hype, both teams look good. Again, Miami comes off a 70-point performance and then are blown out.
Yeah.
They don't even put up 30 points, and it's never really a contest. You also have the playoff loss, which, you know, you can argue at Skylar Thompson, not Tua Tagovailoa. But then in the next season, which is 2023, it's the 48-20 game, and then the Bills beating you at home when it's, you know, for the division. This is the moment where you could take it from Buffalo. And then as well, Miami has proven to be multiple times over that they can beat up on bad teams, but they play a team that's over 500, home or away. They are simply not the same team. And to that point as well, Buffalo has shown to be one of the best, if not the best, when coming to play the Dolphins. They screw up Tua better than anybody. They know how to get him off his
even
first
if
read
they don't sack
and
him.
End him. Yeah.
Even if they're not, you know, getting to the quarterback,
constantly.
They're throwing off his timing. They're throwing off his reads. And it's a different defense this year. But I think if you want to look at it, the Dolphins' defense kind of looks more like the Bills' defense last year. Not just because Jordan Poyer's on it, but because you have, you have a great linebacker in Jalen Phillips. Okay, Matt Milano.
Yeah.
And then you have a great or former great cornerback in Jalen Ramsey, Tre'Davious White.
Mm-hmm.
Because and that's no knock on Tre'Davious White or Jalen Ramsey, but they both have shown last year with Tre'Davious White, and even now this year, unfortunately, and last year with Jalen Ramsey, they both have shown they can't stay healthy and they used to be good.
Yep.
And it's just looking at all that stuff, I don't really fear their defense. Their offense I will respect because Mike McDaniel is very good.
Yes.
He is a very good offensive mind, but until Tua can consistently perform. And yes, he had a great year last year. Don't get me wrong.
Led the league
in passing yards. But it's like you put it, it's always against teams that are losing teams or in situations that it just doesn't matter.
I mean, it's Dak Prescott in his early years where all of his stats came against the four games against Washington and the Giants.
Right. Yeah.
And that was early parts of his career. After that, it was always kind of like his stats would be okay. You put him in primetime, not good. And Dallas was that kind of version last year where against anybody that was above 500, they were terrible. The Dolphins and Tua kind of to this point as well are sort of that same thing. Look, they had a very good win to open up last year against the Chargers. He had almost 500 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Against New England, though, a good defense. He's under 250 yards. Against the Denver Broncos, we know how that game went. Against Buffalo later, it's a lot of we're behind, and he's still under 300 yards. Then you also get games against Kansas City in Germany. He's under 200 yards passing. Against Philadelphia, he's under 220 yards passing.
Look at last week, too, right? So,
and also the final Bills game, he's under 200 yards passing.
Last week against the Jaguars in their opening game, they win. It's a comeback win just like the Bills. Basically the same scenario. I mean, you're down 17-3 and you come back and you win. Obviously, final scores are different, but still. Tua had 338 passing yards and 1 touchdown. 23 for 37. That looks like a pretty good day.
80 of them came on one play.
Right. Yeah.
I will also say,
if you take away that one Tyreek Hill play, if Travis Etienne doesn't fumble the football on the 1 yard line, Tua has most likely under 300 passing yards.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
which is fine.
There was a whole quarter left, so maybe we'll give him a little bit there. Maybe he would have gotten over 300.
For me, though, it's more the yards are fun and nice, but you put up 20 points.
Right.
I know McDermott said this with Sal yesterday. We heard it right here on the Extra Point Show. It's just like it matters more to have points than yards against the Dolphins. Like that's you need to score touchdowns against these guys. They score fast.
And however you can, too. It doesn't matter if it's special teams, defense, or offense.
I will also say, the comeback is nice. I think it's far less impressive than what the Bills did. And I don't want to, like, you know, totally compare comebacks. It's good that you got wins. Good teams find a way to win games where bad teams crumble. I get it. But the Bills, by like the first drive of the second half, were tied 17-17.
Yeah, and you kind of
very quickly that game all of a sudden flipped on its head.
And
the Dolphins
felt like
were late
controlled.
In the third,
yeah.
Potentially going to go down 24-7 if not for a great play by their defense to force a fumble on the goal line. And then they're able to start getting it going.
Well,
the Bills are a kick return touchdown away from being up 11 going into the fourth quarter.
They didn't even really get it going in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They get the one play 80-yard touchdown to Tyreek Hill to make it 17-14. They were losing still. Jaguars get the ball back. It's a turnover on downs. That's really weird. Okay.
Okay.
That's strange. And then they send out the offense, can't get it done. Jason Sanders goes to kick a field goal, 42 yards, misses it.
Mm-hmm.
Jaguars get the ball back, punt. Dolphins get the ball back, field goal to tie it.
Yep.
So again, it's not like their offense is clicking in the fourth quarter, coming to life and doing all this stuff. They had to rely on a last second field goal from Jason Sanders, who had missed one earlier.
Yeah, 52 yarder.
He had missed a 42 yeah. yard and makes a 52 at the end of the game to win it. But again, like you were saying, it's if you want to compare them, it's not the same game. It's not the same type of comeback. It's this let's hobble to the finish and rely on our kicker who's already missed once today.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We're also looking at your tweets as well. What are some of your predictions heading into tonight at 8:15 kickoff? It will be on Amazon Prime. But for here locally in Buffalo, we'll be on ABC. And, of course, we'll have the game on WGR with Chris Brown, Eric Wood, and Sal Capaccio on the call from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth. We'll be right back after a quick timeout. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
It's about points, not yards, and then taking care of the football. When you look at the games that we've played, the first game last season, we were able to take the ball away and score touchdowns rather than field goals. And in the second game, the last game of the regular season last year, we had yards, but not as many points, you know, through touchdowns and whatnot. So it's points over yards and making sure we take care of the ball.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott. That was yesterday with our own Sal Capaccio. And yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about. And that's where the Bills are at, where it means more to get points over yards for them. I mean, they had over 400 yards last week against the Jaguars and got 20 points out of it. The Bills were able to put up 34 on the board, and they had a bad turnover near or in the red zone and on the first drive.
Oh, Allen's fumble. Yeah, no, that was...
I mean, they were well on their way to putting
up 37. I'm going to say the 37 yard line. The Cardinals line? 37.
Regardless, they were very close to the red zone.
I'm looking at it now.
Okay. They were humming, and it was a good game for the Bills offense. You know, obviously they put up 34 points, but they were struggling in the first half and then just opened up.
So close.
Where is it?
29.
I was even closer. Yeah, I was.
You were close.
Yeah, if not, yeah, all right. But, I mean, they were very close to open up the floodgates against Arizona, and it was just a bad – it was basically the defense couldn't get off the field in the first half and a bad turnover that ultimately stopped that from being, you know, over 40 points scored. It was a really good offensive game for the Bills.
To be fair, too, I mean, the Bills' fumble was – it's obviously not great, but it only led to a field goal. It's not like it led to a touchdown.
No, exactly.
And I'm not saying, like, oh, like, it's fine. You can fumble. No, but it's better to – be able to have
a solid rally.
Yeah, it's better to have the defense like limit those points there. Obviously, you don't want the fumble at all, but in a perfect world, if that does happen, the field goal is kind of it's the second best option. I mean, the best option is to get the ball back again.
No, of course.
You know, it's obviously something that they're going that they probably have or they're going to clean up, but you know,
yeah.
It's not something that I feel like tends to happen for Allen against the Dolphins.
I know he plays his best games against Miami pretty much year in and year out. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Are looking for your calls on predictions for tonight. It is an 8:15 kickoff over on Amazon Prime. Locally, though, it'll be on Channel 7 and, of course, right here on WGR. But let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Alex tweets in, high-scoring Bills win. I would also imagine it's a high-scoring game. Again, I've mentioned I don't really respect much of the Dolphins' defense. I am somebody that does like what the Bills' offense is looking like, especially when looking back at the All-22 tape. The Bills were able to move the ball because when Arizona would zero in on Dalton Kincaid, we've laughed at the one image of like four defenders circling Kincaid and then Ray Davis is wide open for a 14-15 yard gain. I think that is going to continue. Yes, they have Jalen Ramsey. I don't really know how much of Jalen Ramsey is that guy, like the Rams guy and the Jaguars guy. I don't really know how much there. And even then, it's one dude. After that, I don't really know, you know, who else is going to be necessarily a game wrecker. I am a big Khalil Shakir fan. Josh, I think you took his over on receptions tonight.
Mm-hmm. So three and a half.
We're thinking
hoping for. Yeah.
I also think Kincaid is probably going to have a much bigger role in terms of the outright offense rather than just, I don't want to say he became a decoy, but he kind of did become a bit of a decoy as the game went on just because it seemed like Arizona was really keying in on him. Keon Coleman as well. You saw in his first game action lead the team in targets and catches. Yeah. I think that is a great sign going forward. And then, of course, you have the run game, Allen himself, James Cook, Ray Davis, and Ty Johnson. James Cook in the first half last week, or the run game in the first half last week, over 7 yards per carry. It did dip in the second half.
If we're looking at last week's game, mm-hmm. How different is the Cardinals defense to the Dolphins defense? Realistically, I'm not trying to be funny here.
I think the Dolphins have a better pass rush.
Yeah, but I mean, Cardinals do have Buda Baker.
Well, and it's the thing is, I think like they have a great safety in Buda Baker.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah, safety compared to linebacker, but
I think the Dolphins have a better pass rush, but I think both are very weak. I think both can be had. You mm-hmm. saw that with Arizona.
Yeah.
And I think you can see the same thing tonight. I'd be very surprised if Buffalo only put up like 20, 21 points. I really would. Because, number one, Allen typically does have great games against them. I think the wide receiver room is significantly better than it was last year, even without having Stephon Diggs, because they have just more options. You saw it last week. 9 guys caught passes. 10 guys were targeted.
I was about to say, 10 guys. Yeah, it's crazy.
And so
that's like – It's what they said they wanted all offseason.
And it seems like Allen spreads the ball around more willingly against the Dolphins as well. Mm-hmm. He throws the ball a lot. He puts up a lot of yards, puts up a lot of touchdowns. And he does that willingly against the Dolphins. Now, all of a sudden, you have a crop of guys. We don't even mention Dawson Knox enough in this as well, who had like a very nice catch early in the game on Sunday. You add him into this element of what they've got going on. Curtis Samuel, another few days healthier from his turf toe. He didn't get to play a ton. But on Allen's fumble, he is wide open in the middle of the field. So I would imagine that is something that when they're looking at film going, dude, just he's right in the middle of the field. Just hit him. And I'd be very, very, very surprised if Buffalo only puts up 21 points in this game. They always play well against the Dolphins. And you saw at the end of last year, and this is more my biggest issue, is that it did get to a point where they just were not getting anything from Sherfield and Hardy. It was all Diggs and maybe Shakir at that point, maybe Kincaid, the run game. It was very, very ugly how they were winning a lot of these games. And they were winning them, but it was ugly. It was not really how they wanted to do it.
But then looking at, you know, what they got last week out of all of the people they passed the ball to, that's something you haven't ever had, mm-hmm. really. I mean, even going back to the John Brown, Cole Beasley days, you haven't had that many options being able to get double-digit yardage.
2020 is the year. It's Diggs' first year, Cole Beasley's breakout, right. And John Brown is that number two. That's the best year they've had in terms of passing weapons.
But, I mean, you look at it, every single player who caught a ball had double-digit yardage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 11 yards for Kincaid, sure, but 51 yards for Keon Coleman, 42 for Khalil Shakir. It's not these big flashy plays, but that is what they talked about all training camp,
mm-hmm.
is having the ability to just get down the field and move the ball.
It also it also seems to be the nature of where the league is going right now, which is, again, like, teams will not let you beat them over the top. You have to move down the field methodically. You have to be able to put together long sustaining drives with the run game, with the passing game as well. And the Bills have now gone to, and now, and this is the thing too, the Bills haven't totally gone away from taking deep shots. They had one to Marquez Valdes-Scantling that was just out of reach, and Keon Coleman comes down with a 50-50 ball. They still have that element in their game. It's just more, I think the first pitch they have, the fastball they have, is going to be just ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. You know, take what the defense is giving you, and you have an elite quarterback in Allen that is able to do so. All you need now with an elite quarterback is having guys that get open and catch the ball. You don't necessarily need the number one wide receiver. You just have to have a complement of guys who, again, get open and catch the ball. That's the biggest problem with Kansas City the last few years, is that they had guys that got open. They also had guys that dropped the ball, I think, at the top end of the NFL. And that was a huge problem. Where Buffalo last year, I don't think they had guys that were getting open. And I think that was a huge issue. They were just running into constant problems of sitting there, having everyone go deep in the beginning of the year with Ken Dorsey, and then no one's getting open except maybe Stephon Diggs. But if he's doubled up, or just, again, not getting open, it happens, it's fine. There's just no second option other than Allen to be Superman. Me and Sal talked about this a few days ago. You know, neither of us really saw that Allen necessarily had to be Superman. It's just that he is that guy. That's the kind of player he is. But a lot of his throws were just, he's open. I'm just going to, again, the Ray Davis play is just quickly, all right, and that's 15 yards. You know, the Keon Cole, or the Kincaid one for like 11 yards. First down. It's just first downs, first downs, first downs. And that's the key to winning the NFL. College football is more, you put up 75 points, baby. You go for the end zone all the time. The NFL is much more get first downs, sustain drives, and score points. College is much closer to just go score points, if that kind of makes sense. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Jeff on the line. Jeff, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, I just wanted to bring up something, you know, last week, to be in the first game of Hyde and Poyer being back there. The Bills used to do a lot of disguising, and those guys being the veterans and stuff like that, sort of like, you know, could disguise plays and what coverages you're actually going to see when the ball is snapped. But last week against the Cardinals, the Bills pretty much played it straightforward. What you saw was what you got. I mean, they did make some adjustment in the second half, but do you guys see that? And do you see like a team with a Tyreek and a Waddle and so on and so forth? I mean, I know these teams know each other, but again, when it comes to disguising coverages, they were the key to that. And like I said, the Bills were playing it pretty vanilla. If I can make one more point, not a knock on Deion or Dawkins, but a good tackle, but I feel he's pretty overrated nationally. I know he's a good guy in the community and everything, but for a left tackle, I don't even know if he's top 10.
Yeah, I Jeff, I don't really know about that one. I mean, 2020, he had a rough year due to COVID. I mean, he got the disease, had a really tough time. After that, he's been one of the better left tackles in football. Top 10, I think, pretty easily. Yeah. I wouldn't put him at like 2 or 3. I don't really think even the national media would do that anyways. I mean, he's a
pro. The top 10 is he's completely fair.
Pro Bowl left tackle. Yeah. He's Service Bowl. There's not really that many great offensive linemen. I know that's a surprise to some, but there's really not that many great offensive linemen in football. When you have them, they don't leave. They just don't. Great offensive linemen very rarely hit the open market. It's a big reason why the Bills also, for an ascending player who's only had one good year in Spencer Brown, it's why they paid him 4 years, $72 million. It was, we can't let him go. I guarantee you Osiris Torrance, if he continues to progress as he has, which week one, not great for him.
No,
but if
hey,
he continues to progress in 2 years, they will pay him as well, because it's just, it's so, so difficult to find great offensive linemen.
With Deion too, I mean, I don't get that. I think that he's been there. Yes, he had his issues at first, but the past 2 years, he's been part of the reason why Allen has been able
his
to
his best
so
year
much
was
time.
Last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was a very, very good, if not great year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really understand that one. I think there's this feeling of he needs to be like a Hall of Fame left tackle, and Deion probably at this point doesn't have that resume, probably never will. But yeah, I put him up there as one of the top 10 left tackles in football, I think, quite easily. I think he's probably 7-8-ish in that area and quite comfortably. On the safety thing, though, I think it's going to go more towards the second half. That defense could not get off the field in the first half. They made the adjustments, and then it became an entirely different game towards the end of the first half and all of the second half, really. I mean, again, the only real reason Arizona was in the game was a special teams touchdown, which that has to get shored up, but that's also a new element to the game. You know, we're seeing how those kick returns are going to be used. That was a new element. It was the only one of the weekend, right? For a kick return touchdown, I believe that was the only one.
Yeah,
of the weekend.
It was the first official dynamic kickoff touchdown too. Because, I mean, I think there was one in the preseason, there wasn't one in the preseason.
Yes, that was the first one.
Yeah, that was the first one.
That's going to be an element they've got to shore up. But I mean, like, they shut the game down and were on their way to winning by 14. And just completely, you know, shutting the door on the game with the fourth quarter going on. But yeah, they'll probably go more towards this guy's coverages. They have veteran players at the safety position. That's a big reason why they pushed for that, and why Cole Bishop was not immediately thrust into the starting lineup the moment he got healthy. And even then, you know, to start the preseason or to start training camp, it was more, we're going to take our time here. This is going to be kind of like fine wine. We're going to let, you know, him marinate and mature and the whole thing. That was a big part of it, because for playing safety for the Bills is a mental game more than almost anything, which playing the safety position oftentimes is a mental game more than anything. That's why they have Mike Edwards. It's why DeMar Hamlin has become such a key player for them, being a part of the defense for, you know, 4 years now at this point, 4 or 5 years at this point. It's why it's a big thing, you know, for them, is you need to be able to run the defense successfully. I'm more interested in the linebackers. I thought Terrell Bernard kind of had a shaky game at times. Dorian Williams had a shaky game against Arizona. Again, cheered it up, but there were moments not great. I'm more interested in them going forward. I also think the defensive line, though, for the Bills is going to be maybe the key factor for this game and where it's going to go, because if you can get Tua off his rhythm early and off his first read quickly, that is an entirely different offensive scheme. 803-0550, the number to call. We're also going to keep reading your tweets as well. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt, you're here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR. It is game day for the Buffalo Bills. They take on the Miami Dolphins down in South Florida for an 8:15 kickoff. They begin week two of the 2024 NFL season. Very, very excited for tonight. Effectively, this is pregame, right? I mean, pregame officially starts here on WGR at 3 p.m. with Shelton Bulldog. But let's be honest.
It feels like
it was pregame at 6 a.m. with Jeremy and Joe. It's an all-day adventure.
Right. I mean, if you think about it, too, that's kind of how a normal Sunday would go. I mean, it starts at 7 with breakfast with the Bills, and it goes till 1, so that's quick math. How many hours?
This is not good. You're not good at quick math. Why would you do that?
How many hours is it?
Why would you do that?
How many hours is it?
I don't know.
If you're so good at quick math.
I'm not.
At kickoff, it would be 6 hours.
There we go. That's what I thought. But I didn't want to just spew out 6.
That's why I don't do math.
I mean, I was just looking at the clock going from 8 to 7 to 9.
But it just feels like it, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Even though it's not going to be the normal amount of time, it just, everyone's just waiting all day for Thursday night.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks.
Real quick, though, I do want to bring this up here before we take our next time out, because I don't really know where else we're going to fit it in, but I have to, because as a college football junkie, this is the best news I've heard last night. And then to get it officially this morning at 9 a.m. our time, 6 a.m. Pacific, Pac-12's not dead yet, baby!
You know, they should become...
They're just rebranding.
Make it the Pac half.
No, don't do that.
No,
do that.
Right now, make it the Pac half, because you have 6 of 12 teams. Just do that until you get to 12. Pac-half.
So, if you have not heard the news, the Pac-12 officially announced today that they are adding in 4 members to their remaining 2. I think people do forget that the Pac-12 is actually still technically a thing with Oregon State and Washington State. They did not get invited to any of the Big 12, ACC,
which
Big 10.
Sad.
Which is sad. But
be
they
better.
Were like, they were like, nah, screw it. We're going to rebuild together.
We don't need you.
We don't need you. And so
I feel like
that,
they're going to go for the Mountain West.
That's what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Officially, as of today, starting in the 2026 year, they will be joined by Boise State, Colorado State, Fresno State, and San Diego State. That is as of right now. We'll see if they're able to add anyone else in. They're going to have a 2-year grace period to kind of have these guys all pay their dues to get into the conference, and then to kind of juggle everything. They're gutting it, and that's fine. Because you know what the Mountain West should do? Bring in FCS programs who have been too dominant for too long. North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Montana, Montana State. You're in. Coach is calling you up.
Yeah, but what are the other six you're going to put in the Pac-12? You're just going to keep...
I don't know. Exactly. That's not my job. I'm not out there. UNLV. You actually really should do UNLV.
I think Hawaii.
Wyoming's not a big enough market. Hawaii's getting left behind.
No. Hawaii should absolutely go to the Pac-12. Hawaii's in the Pacific.
They're getting left behind. I would almost...
What conference are they even in, Hawaii?
Mountain West.
Technically Mountain
really?
West.
Really?
Yeah. Which is just...
For football. They're in the Big West then for basketball. It's a whole thing. It's so stupid.
Just put them in the Pac-12. They're in the Pacific Ocean.
Nah, baby. They're getting left behind. They're going straight to the FCS level. I would put money on that. They are going to get dropped down to the FCS level. They're going to go the avenue of Idaho.
Introduce a relegation and promotion.
No, we're not doing that.
Come on, why not? People would love that. Come on, think about it.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure?
You're
a soccer fan. You love the promotion relegation
thing. Yeah, but like, because it was built into the game. You can't introduce it, 200 years
Nonsense.
Into a sport.
Nonsense.
You can't
it's
do
not
it.
200 years into football. You what are you talking about?
You can't do it.
Oh, maybe it is 200 years.
You can't do it.
But no, it's not 200 years. What are you talking
about?
What
I'm more excited for, though, the idea that Cal and Stanford are starting ACC play, and Stanford's going to have to deal with the war machine that is Syracuse to open up ACC play. They're going to run back to the Pac-12 when all's said and done. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here for another hour. Still taking your calls on predictions for tonight, 803-0550, the number to call. We'll be right back. This is WGR.